where to put some of the soup. That's okay.
It's not wet, so
it's right. It's not mild. It's coming out of that refrigerator. Okay.
Cool. So.
And the coast is another room. Okay.
Cool. So just letting you know, it's recording now. So you know. Feel free to say anything you want, though.
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. All right, so, you know, generally we want to talk about the school. So, you know, so when did you grow up here in Cape Charles? Or, like, were you born and raised here? Or
no, it's not. I was born in North Carolina.
Okay.
Here when I was 1 year old.
Oh, okay.
I actually moved into Cape Charles when I was about 6.
Oh, okay, cool. So, was all of your schooling in Cape Charles?
I went to Cape Bell Elementary for a short time, and then Cape Charles, and that was the rest of it from 1 to 7.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because after 7th grade, we had to go to, that was before integration,
mm-hmm.
So we had to go to Mashapongo, which was quite a distance away, after we finished elementary school here.
Oh, okay. So how did the integration go? What do you remember from it? Do you remember it being tough for anybody? Was it tough for you? Like, what do you think?
Well, integration, basically, I was never, as far as the schools, I was never part of, because the fact where we had to go to school,
mm-hmm.
it was all African-American,
mm-hmm.
the Mashapongo Elementary during that time, that's what we had to do. Of course, through the alley for me was the white school.
Yeah.
What have you. And it was, some kids who did attend the high school with me, I forgot what year it was, but some of them, it got to a point where the schools were integrated, but it was not a forced integration. So some kids did go to Eastville or either over to Cape Charles during a certain time. But it's really interesting because when they first started with the integration, before it was forced, the people actually handpicked kids to go over there, which I thought was sort of unusual, which we were discriminating really against each other. But a few did go over there at that particular time, and later it was just open to everybody. Now, some of the kids who did go over there, who picked during that time, now they had problems because, of course, you know, kids didn't want the whites didn't want to accept them or what have you. So I guess as time went on, we got to the point where it was here. Or what have you. And all of my sisters finished Northampton County High School except for one. One had to go because 70 after 70, the next class, they either had to come to Cape Charles or go to Eastville. So she opted to go to Eastville because she was one of the classes. But as far as Cape Charles Elementary, when I graduated, they were still going on. I don't remember exactly what year they actually closed down. But we did. I enjoyed myself over at Cape Charles Elementary School. We didn't know any better, what have you. It was nice. So probably the only problem that I had, we got the old books. And see, that's what we could not understand. We got the old books and those type things, what have you. And as far as integration, if they had just, everybody had been treated equally, give us the good books and all those type things, just like everybody else were receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get that. And we knew that we had the older books. But our classes, we had good teachers. They were concerned about us. They were respected and all. So that was good things.
Oh, so you feel that like the separate but equal wasn't really equal? Is kind of what you were saying?
No, it was not equal because of the fact that we got the hand-me-downs.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we did. And, you know, we were not the ones who control things or have it. So, yes, they passed us those old books and those type things while they were getting the newer things.
So do you feel that, like, in general, you got an inferior education? Or do you feel like that the things like the teachers and stuff like that balanced it out? Or?
No, I did not feel that our education was inferior. We might have gotten the older books, but those, if you think about certain things now, English has not changed.
Right.
All right, you just got newer books and those type things. So our education, we got that. The classes, of course, you know, we didn't have classes like 30 kids in a class like you have today and all. But we did have, say, two classes in one, just like 5th and 6th graders might have been in the same class or whatever. But the teacher still taught, and it's amazing. With two classes, I remember, I think we had, must have been fourth and fifth grade. And the teacher taught the fourth graders, and then they taught the fifth graders. And the thing is, we did our work. It wasn't like the teachers had to stop us, stop talking, all that. And I think about that today. That was really unusual. And we got the education. Some of us went on to college, and we did well. Okay, so no, I wouldn't say it was inferior. We had teachers who were concerned. They made it, we got it despite what the things that we had, they taught us. We got that.
Oh, that's interesting. That's cool. So you said that before they forced integration, that certain people were like kind of picked.
At the very first kids, people, certain ones went around and asked certain ones to go. But after that, it was open. Now I don't know whose decision that was. I guess they were just trying to get some kids to go, They probably handpicked some. But after that, it was open. Anybody who wanted to go.
Right.
Or whatever, just like with my sisters, or what have you, they wanted to stay with the kids they were with all along so they could finish together. But it was a choice, and that was their choice, and some just stayed here in town.
Huh, that's interesting. Like, you talked about that it was almost like a prejudice within, like, the own community. Like, so, like, were certain people, like picked for, like, how do you feel like they were chosen?
I really don't know how they were chosen. Basically, I know certain ones, it was just a few, wasn't that many.
Oh, okay.
They were the first to go, and it was not a very good experience for them. You know, being two or three there, and being with people who don't want them, or what have you. But you learn to adjust, and they did that. And we went on about our regular education, and we got that. And some missed out on things, and you know, It was a different type of experience because the fact they had to come with kids they didn't know, where we they haven't enjoying ourselves and doing those type things because the teachers were not always that great with some of these young people who transferred to the integrated schools at the very beginning. Because this was an adjustment period for everybody.
Oh, okay.
It really was, or what have you. But we're in this world together. That's the thing I said. I don't care where you go, we're going to be together. So that very separation true. We had through the years, that was something that just passed down from generation to generation. And now we're all together.
Oh.
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
Yeah, because we have the private schools. And, of course, we know the private schools started because of integration in some cases.
Yeah, that's very true.
Thankfully, not everywhere, but
no,
in some places, yeah.
Yeah. So, do you remember seeing any other than the books? You remember seeing any differences between like the white schools and the black schools? Like were there like facility kind of differences, or do you remember seeing anything like that? Or
I can't actually say because the fact I had never been into Cape Charles combined school, I guess is what they called it during that time, or what have you. We had four, of course they had a larger building. Have you seen, you know where our school is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had four classrooms, and we did what we had to do.
Mm.
And we didn't have a cafeteria. They didn't have a cafeteria. We took our lunch to school.
Oh, okay.
I think because they were over on this side, some of them would go over to the stores and buy lunch or do whatever they had to. Do or whatever, but we basically took our lunch to school. They had milk. We had milk. I think some of the men bought milk, and I think we had ice cream we could buy, but we took our lunch to school.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Walked the hump every day.
Was that a tough walk?
No. I guess it was something that we had to do, so you never thought about it.
Right.
But I'll just think about the fact today, that was really dangerous. We had the steps that we would walk up, and there was they had this little divide where we with the rail, and we just walked across to the other side, and then went on down to school at night when they had activities. And I wouldn't do it today. We walked over there at night with no lights. Oh my gosh, I would never do that today. And we had at night when they had maybe school dances and those type things, the lady who used to live across the street, Mrs. Gosen, she was Gosen during that time. The only way we could go, we would have to go with her because my mother just didn't let us go, just in and everywhere. So if she went, she would take us and bring us back. Okay, but yeah, so we had an enjoyable time over there.
That's cool.
softball. We played all those. And at that time, everything looked big to us. Now it looks so small.
So you talked about the school dances. What were they like?
It was a dance. No band, but yeah, just okay. Like with favorite record players or whatever, they played the little records and we danced and did that.
That's cool.
And they had other type of things over there in the evening after school or what have you. But yes,
cool.
And we had the May Days. You familiar with May Days? And we used to have the May Day.
Okay, cool.
Over there.
Cool. So what did you do for the May Day celebration?
For the May Days, it was always in May. I don't know, but probably the first week of May, because May always seemed to be, you kick off the spring. And at that particular time, we used to have the May Day. And that's when we started wearing our white sneakers, because we didn't want not wear sneakers during the winter. So, and we would have on our white sneakers and I remember the white socks, body socks, and we would have, if we were doing in particular things like gymnastics or something, we would have like navy blue shorts and the white tops. And there was one I remember, we had some type of activity where we had to wear little yellow skirts and had these little bonnets or whatever. That was a different activity, wrapping the maypole. So we did all those type things. We really did. It was fun.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, when did you actually like start going to? Because you said you after seventh grade you had?
Yes, after seventh grade.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you went to the Cape Charles School after seventh grade?
Cape Charles Elementary.
Cape Charles Elementary.
That was one through seven. Cape Charles Elementary. That's the school across the hump.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Once we finished seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
and let me mention to you, because we walked to school. I walked to school until the seventh grade. When I was in the seventh grade, we got a school bus.
Oh, okay.
We got a school bus.
Nice.
And that picked us up from time to time. But after seventh grade, we had a bus to take us to Northampton County High School. Bus number 25, Mr. David Bailey. Mr. Bailey drove bus 25, and he rode 25. Never over 25. And that bus was cold. But we went on up there.
Oh, that's cool.
Bus picked us up at the corner. You know, it's interesting because lately, they had been having door-to-door pickups for a few years, because years ago they didn't have door-to-door pickups, and the parents were so upset or what have you, but I think they made some adjustments, but it's not door-to-door. But we had certain corners, so we waited, and the bus would pick us up. Go ahead. And we had no problems.
Cool. Nice.
All Cape Charles kids. That was the one bus. All of us fit on that bus.
Wow. Pretty much the whole school?
The kids from Cape Charles.
Kids from Cape Charles.
But transported on that one bus.
Okay,
not like we had that
man,
of course. But, so we had. Cape Charles was the place to be during that time. It was booming.
Loads
of things going on.
It sounds very communal, like you all kind of knew each other, sort of. So.
Yes, during that time we did. During that time we knew everybody, period. Because all of us went to the same school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the community and all. And we played together because we used to have the playground over there, right behind, over there by the condos. That was our playground. Down there we had the movie. And that all that pavement out there, that's where we skated and all. So we had a good time growing up, too.
That's cool. Are there any, like, specific, like, fond memories you have of school? Like, any little specific things, like... any like events, or did you have like a best friend in school or anything that you remember a lot about? Or
I wouldn't say a particular best friend, but friends, because we all played together and the games of softball and all those type things. We had a good time doing that, the basketball, and just in general, because I always loved sports, so we did that.
Oh, cool.
We had an oratorical contest. I was not in it, but I did go to it. And that was where we did compete with the Capeville Elementary and the other elementary schools that were around. We did have competition with them. I remember that one time it was the oratorical contest, and we did get to go to see it. And I remember the one that we did have, the young lady who won, because she was from Hare Valley, Ruth James. It was an oratorical contest. She was good, too.
What'd she recite?
So what?
Do you remember what she recited?
No, I know the ones in Cape Charles, which I was not a part of. They did my captain, but I don't know what hers was, but it was good. What Ruth did, hers was good.
Nice.
So we had the rhetorical contest. We played marbles too. I play marbles with boys. Girls don't like to play marbles. I didn't mind them.
Right.
See, during that time, they used to call us if we like sports and all, like playing basketball and all. That's when they called tomboys. Now, girls play just like everybody else. You know, yeah. We work on jobs just like the men work on jobs. So,
very true. That's cool. Do you wanna take a look at these graduation pictures that you had and talk about that?
Okay. Well, let me tell you this. Sure. I always think about. I used to tell people about Mr. Nottingham, and you probably have done him for an oral interview. Mr. Nottingham came here when we were in the fifth grade.
Ah.
I was in the fifth grade, and so our class introduced him to teaching. And you remember those days, but it was nice.
Talk a little bit about him and how it was to have this brand new Mr. Nottingham as your teacher.
Well, you know, really, I just remember he was a teacher, not that much about him, but he was new, and he learned along with us, but he got the job done, or what have you. But you know what? I have a phonics book that I had from elementary school, and there was a spelling book, because I think when we had our dedication, I did take that to school, and we had those books. Now, we did get them new. They were workbooks, and I was talking, when people talk about phonics and getting back to phonics and all that, see, we had that when we were in school. We really did, and I went through the book. Of course, they had grades and all those type things in there, so that was good. I mean, we're doing more and more.
I should tell you that we did interview him, Mr. Nottingham, and he mentioned you as one of his outstanding students.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice. Oh, you know what? I do remember something. When we were in the seventh grade, the principal also taught. Okay, Mr. Mm-hmm. Hare was the principal during that time.
Cool.
Jesse Hare, H-A-R-E, if you put that down. He was the principal, but he taught 6th and 7th grade also.
Ah.
All right, and normally when they had registration, so that must have been because we didn't have kindergarten during that time, so when the kids come into first grade, Ms. Alice Ames was the 1st and 2nd grade teacher. When the principal had problems with a student, he sent them to Mrs. Alice Ames. She did not play.
Wow.
She did not play. But because she was the first grade teacher, so whenever they had the registration, they would have the older kids, and I used to be one, would go over and watch the 1st and 2nd graders while she would go out and register the kids for first grade. And that was always great. And there was one particular fellow, he has now passed, and I remember him being in the class during that particular time. And now he has children and all, and I've taught some of his children. But it was real interesting, and I remember those kids when we used to go in there to take care of them while the teacher was doing registration. So they trusted
nice.
Us.
Nice, that's cool.
I do remember I never got, during that time, the teachers could hit you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I never did, of course. I was not going to, my father passed when we were very young, but I was not going to deal with my mother or what have you, so I did what I had to do. But, so I never really got in trouble. But one time, and there was this young fella, he's in Cape Charles now, George Earl. He would tease us all the time, always tease us. And we were older, he was younger. And our class, I think we might have been in the 6th or 7th grade, I never forget, and he had been teasing us. And this one lunchtime, we ran him through the woods. You know, we had woods all around that school. We ran him through the woods. We were gonna get him that day.
Uh-oh.
And of course, when we got back, we were late, and the teacher gave all of us a hit. That was the only hit I got at school, but he got every last one of us in our hand. We got a hit in our hand with the ruler or what have you. I remember that one. I definitely remember that. But he would always be teasing the girls. You know how you have some just tease. Mm-hmm. But we were determined that day we were going to get him, and we did. And I'm going to stop it right there.
Don't want to incriminate yourself.
That's right.
It's happened a long time ago. I don't think you're going to incriminate anybody. So. Nice.
So what was discipline like with the kids, besides the little
hit on the hand?
How did that work? And did the kids normally behave?
Most of them did, but of course you had some who would not. And like Ms. Zane, she used to get them on the knuckles. She would hit them on the knuckles. And you know, I guess if you know she's going to get you on the knuckles, you better start acting right. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I cannot really remember any terrible problems or what have you. And you know, the parents were more into the schools. Teachers were respected during that time or what have you. And you know, you had problems at school. You know, it's coming home and they're going to deal with you on that. But that's the unfortunate thing today. We had our parents that were concerned about education. And today, the parents might be there younger and the kids are basically doing a lot that on their own. We need more parental involvement with the education of our younger people, especially in the elementary level, because if they get that foundation there, they get be well indoctrinated even at home, it will carry through and it wouldn't be much of a problem. But we were not perfect kids, but pretty much as far as discipline, we didn't have that many problems.
What about parent involvement in those days?
I don't remember much about it, but parents kept up with what was actually going on or what have you. The PTA meetings, they still had PTA meetings, and some people, maybe parents could go more so than others. I know my mother worked a lot of what have you. She went to some or what have you, and then depending on what time they actually got off work. But I think parents as a whole were more in tune to the education of the children. And they were not like the very young parents during that time, neither. I mean, you know, here sometimes we used to say babies having babies or what have you, but you just have, they were just more in tune. And our work ethics and what it takes to get you to a certain point, education was important during that time. It's still important, but with our parents and all, but they wanted to see us do well.
You think maybe some people now take it for granted, do you think, compared to in the past?
Yeah. Are you just talking elementary and schools, period?
Just schools, period, because you're saying that there's kind of less involvement.
I maybe some things are taken for granted because you have so much more. And I think about in the schools today, and I think about I was in business and in the teaching and then in administration when I was over the career and tech ed program. It was so much there, so many opportunities, skills that kids could be taught and all. And some of them, if there is a teacher who works you, where you really got to work, they stay away from those type classes. And in my class, we're teaching kids for careers. Go out and get a job because, you know, they could get entry-level jobs on what we had or what have you. But the work, they didn't want to do that work or what have you. So they took other things. So a lot of skills that they could get, and even now, they don't take those skill classes. And to make it today, you need to have skills as well as academics. Mm-hmm. The combination that STEMs they talk about from time to time, that's technology, math, education, all those type things, the science, technology, and everything. You're familiar with STEMs. But you had all of those, and we need to get back to getting kids to work hard and get some skills or what have you. Because, see, every kid is not going to college.
Yeah.
But if you're going to make it this world, you're going to have a job. And if you're going to make it on these jobs, you got to have some extra education. So going to these business schools, taking what you can, and the public schools that they have, and they're losing out where they didn't get it in the public schools, and then they have to go and pay for it in the community colleges and four-year institutions because they didn't see the need at that time to get those. And here on the shore, if we bring in industry, they need skills.
Right.
So the kids have to be trained for that. And of course, in the elementary level, we just got the basis because it's like that's all you get in elementary school. But of course, we did careers and all those type things, and you learned about some of the things, and it made you start thinking about better your education and all. And we worked, of course, as far as jobs during that time. We didn't have where you work at in these fast food places because we didn't have fast food places.
Right.
So during our time, if you didn't have money, parents didn't have money. Some kids were blessed. But I don't know anybody in our race that did. But we either worked in the field or you worked at the graders. And that's what we did. And some didn't work at all. So my mother, we worked, of course. And we had strong work ethics. So I did, yes, I worked in the field. I had a good time working in the field. The guys used to come up from Florida. They used to help us out and, you know, do all that. But anyway, and I worked at the grader. But I found out working at grader.
How do you spell that?
Grader? Grader? I think it was G-R-A-T-E-R.
Grader.
What is it?
Just like potatoes. You know those potatoes you have?
Yeah.
You eat from time to time? You know, those potatoes, they used to dig them to take them to this grader. Maybe it's DER. And they're processed and then they're put in bags and then they're sent to the stores.
So packaging potatoes, essentially.
They're called grades, but
it's sorted.
It's a combination, but they're grades. No, we didn't start by that. They just went in the bags. Bags, you know, it's a mixture. They're not called factories.
Grader, maybe like G-R-A-D-E-R?
I put grader.
Okay.
I'm going to double check that. See what they call them today, but we worked at the graders, and but I did part of the time. But it seems to be that we sat down all day and worked all night, and I said my time is too valuable, so I stopped working at the grader and went in the field. I made my money in the field.
Yeah.
I sure did. As a matter of fact, my first tuition for college, because I was planning to go to business school and change my mind. It was too late to get financial assistance. My first tuition, I made my money working out there in the field to go to college. Sure did. All right, next question. Did I answer your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, you totally did. You answered more than I
did. Sure did.
So, yeah, that's perfect. All right, so was it tough working and going to school at the same time?
Or? No.
Oh, okay,
my mother's education.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't stay out of school to work. But in the summer, we did. That was, well, the working at the grade, that's during the summer.
Oh, okay.
That was
during
the summer.
Gotcha.
No, I didn't work during the school year.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Cool.
Didn't have too much going on in the field anyway, but no, I didn't work during the school year.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So when you had free time, when you were in school, like, what would you do? Like, after school, like, just kind of hang out or?
After school, we did not hang out.
No.
After school, basically, when school was out, of course, we had our homework to do. We had chores to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, kids would come around and play. We would do that. Now, there's one thing with elementary school now.
Uh-huh.
When you get to high school, it's a difference. Because we did have places where we could hang out, if you recall that. Because I told you, I mentioned the movie theater, but there was the Carver spot that we had was right down the street connected to the movie theater, and that was a place for teens. So we could go there like Fridays or what have you, and you didn't have these adults and all. It was teens, period. And that was a nice place. That's why I said we had a lot to do growing up compared to the kids today. They don't have that much to do.
Right.
We did the skating and all those type things. So that was nice. But with the just at elementary school, we would go play with friends, and friends would come play with us. That was basically what we did during that time. We'd go to the playground, which I told you.
Mm-hmm.
You had the sliding boards, the swings, and all that. Yes.
Nice.
And weekends, of course, we open to do that. But of course, during the week, we had our chores as well as homework to do.
Gotcha. That's cool. All right, so you wanna take a look at these pictures? You know, talk about graduation a little?
Well, basically, these are pictures, but as far as what I can tell you about them, this one right here, this is the one where I had to give the class history.
Oh, okay.
And this is a cute little dress my uncle sent to me from New York that I have out there in the hallway. or whatever, believe it or not. I tried washing to see if I could get it to come back. But of course, you know, with the number of years, of what, but I still have the dress. But this is it. I'm going to let you all see it before you leave. This is the dress, but I gave the class, I was giving the class history here. Uh-huh. And you know what? I was trying to figure out what year was this. It's right on the picture at the bottom. It has 1962.
Oh, okay.
And this one is the one of me going to get my diploma. This is the principal, Mr. Jesse Hare. He was the principal, and I'm getting my diploma. And there's some kids right in behind it. And we try to figure out who are some of these kids. I know it's hard to see. But Irvin Stratton is one. I don't know whether you know any Strattons. Irvin Stratton and Hazel Bland. They are the two. Valentina Evans, you probably interviewed her. Mm-hmm. Val's, this is Val's aunt, Hazel, is in this picture, and Irvin Stratton. Irvin was the shortest one in our class. He was about this tall. Okay, but that's what this is. So then the two that I happened to come across when my mother passed, and we've been going through all her photo albums and came across these two pictures. Okay. So that is what that is. So we did our graduations. We had the white dresses. We had the young ladies who wore the white dresses, and guys had the black suits.
Nice.
And in high school, of course, you have your cap and gowns, but we used to have to wear the dresses underneath. So we had a nice graduation.
Nice.
Yes, we did. Nice. And they're not as formal now with the graduations like we used to be.
Yeah.
So you see how much pride they had in us even during that time?
Yeah. So you said you were given the class history in this picture right here.
Right, that's the class history.
Yeah, so what exactly did that encompass,
I cannot remember a thing. Okay. I know what we were doing there, so I'm sure I told about the history of our class, what we did, and culmination, I'm sure, during the time. Unfortunately, we didn't have the typewriters to key that in so I could attach it.
Right, gotcha. So like one person would do this every graduating class?
Yes, they probably had the class history, and they just like we had the valedictorians, salutatorians, all those things. Uh-huh. I'm sure we probably had all of that. I don't remember, but I know my responsibility was to do the class history.
Oh, that's cool. Did you volunteer for that, or were you kind of picked?
I don't remember. Okay. I know I didn't volunteer. I'm sure I probably wouldn't volunteer to the history. So the teacher, the principal probably the same. The principal also was our teacher during that time, too.
Oh, gotcha.
And he probably chose who wanted to do what.
Yeah, he knew what everybody's interests and skills were, so he probably just kind of...
I think he probably, that was his idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Nice. Let's check the rest of these here.
No, they were just... we were experimenting, trying to get some good copies.
And gotcha.
None of them came out that good, but that's what these are. These were the two that I found.
Oh, okay.
In her... these are basically the same.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. Be nice if we had pictures of our May Days that we used to have over there. David Mitchell had some pictures, but I don't know whether it was May Day or what that he had. But yes, so that's what we had there. Mm. How's the time?
We have...
we're about 30 minutes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's been a little more than
40. It's about 33. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 45 is...
Oh, I just don't want you all to run over time. I have cleared my calendar for you all now. So,
right?
Whatever.
We've done the same.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, was there anything that you wanted?
I think it's important to know the years that you were in school, but you did say when you graduated. So
it was 62.
And you started... You started in first grade, or?
Well, evidently I was in first grade part of the year here, so.
Because you moved from?
I lived in Cheriton for a little while.
Cheriton.
Mm-hmm. And we went to Cape Bell Elementary at that time. Mm-hmm. And then 56. Came here.
Would that be 56 to 62?
Probably so, 56. Because it was 7 years, we did seventh grade there.
So
something about that.
1956, yeah. And this is the Cape Charles.
Cape Charles Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Charles Elementary.
So, you know, one of the things that's so interesting is that you were a teacher here on the shore, right? And you also were a student. So it's really, I think... great to talk about your different experiences as a student on the shore and you know, the culture of education at that time, the values that the families placed in them versus now. You've talked a little bit about that, but so you, where did you go to college?
I went to Norfolk State University. Mm-hmm. I went to Norfolk State College. Let me see. I got three different degrees from there. So when I first went there, it was Norfolk Division of Virginia State College. Then became Norfolk State College. Then it became Norfolk State University. But I went there. Because when I went through high school, I basically, we had business courses. And I took those, so I followed that track, okay? And when I finished, I decided I wanted to be an executive secretary. I think that's what it's in your book. And I was going to go to Cortez Peters Business School. And they had one in Baltimore and one in D.C., Washington, D.C. Cortez Peters at the time was one of the world's fastest typists or what have you. So I planned to go there. And I changed my mind and decided I wanted to go to college instead.
What made you do that? Change your mind?
I really don't. I'm not sure, but I was in between business and I always liked sports and physical education. I always loved that. And I remember reading, I did a lot of reading in high school, and I read a book about physical therapist. And I had thought about that, between that and being a physical education teacher. So I decided, plus the trying to get there and all like that, I felt it might have been a hardship for my mother. And all. So I said, well, I like all of these. So I said, well, decided to go to college. And I did what I had to do so that I could get in there. And of course, my mother was working with me, trying to help out. And I decided to teach. I wanted to teach. But I didn't go for physical education. Physical education was loaded for all these sciences.
Oh, really?
My gosh. If you wanted for physical education, in your basic, the beginning courses, you take the physical education majors, the pre-med majors, all of them took the same classes, and the nursing one.
Oh, wow.
I said, no, I don't want all them sciences. So it was more physical education, just playing ball, playing them activities like that. But like I said, because I like the sports and I like the business portion, so I decided to go on and go through the field of business. So I said I would teach. And believe it or not, two of my teachers that I had when I moved back here, I worked with them.
Nice.
And because Madge Christian, they're talking about, and she was my boss because I became chair of the business department when I moved back. But it was because I loved them and always said, I switched from business education because I didn't like accounting when I was good. I didn't like accounting. We had to have 2 years of accounting. And I never forget my advisor when I went to change. She says, you need to stay in there. She says, you're not doing the right thing. I said, no, I don't like accounting. So I changed to executive secretary of science. I made sure I got a BS degree in that. And when I finished college, I had, we had a lot of recruiters to come on campus, and I had gotten a job with Internal Revenue in D.C.
Nice.
And I decided I didn't want to go there. And I got a job working on campus as a secretary. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I said, gosh, if I'm going to just go back and get my degree in education. Plus, they had dropped 1 year of accounting. So I went back and got my degree in business education. Right. And I did student teaching, all those type things. And I continued to work. And while I was there, they got the master's programs. I went on and got my master's and all. But I always said that if I ever taught, I wanted to teach on the Eastern Shore because I wanted to come back and be a help to the young people here.
Nice.
And while I was there, an opportunity came up. And I think I met some people from over here with the FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. They used to have their regional conferences right on our campus at Norfolk State. And they were telling me about they had some openings. So I tried. As a matter of fact, Cape Charles has an opening. Northampton did too. And I said, well, why not? And I knew what was on the shore. So I said, the thing is, I knew what was here, what I was coming back to. So people who don't know, okay, they have a problem adjusting to certain things that I didn't know. The only suggestion I have for anybody who wants to come to the shore, get your husband first, because you just don't have that many people be on the shore. Right. Okay, but when I came back, I said I was coming back for 5 years. Well, you know, that didn't happen. But I came back, and I got the job offer from Northampton. I taught both schools or what have you. And I decided it was Northampton that I'd be a good job. And I came back. I came back and started working with people that I knew. And it came on and on and on. And my first year, because I taught one beginning class when I came back. And I taught the advanced classes. But I always wanted one class where I'm, because during that time, you took keyboard, and they would call typewriting. You took that in 10th grade. So that was with the younger people. And then you moved to the advanced classes. And that's why I say I always like to have one, because, you know, that's the foundation, and then they move on. Uh-huh. So in doing that, which was very rewarding. But the thing is, the kids that I had during that time, they were kids who were interested in pursuing a career in that field. So we didn't have problems, and quite a few of my kids are working around here now. Okay, they've done very well. Some went on to other fields or what have you, but they're still working, because I have one who's a pharmacist or whatever. She went through our whole program thinking that she was going to go into business, but she changed. Okay, but they got the skills. They have lifetime skills that can always come back to whatever they're doing, but they are doing very well. But the key is, during that time, they were there because they wanted to be there. Or what have you. Today, they're taking these because you got to have something.
Yeah.
Or what have you. And so they would take some of those classes we have, because during that time, for a kid, if they had the number of courses that they need in order to graduate, they could do co-op, what they call distributed education. If they were in marketing, they could go out and work. Or whatever, they got credit for that. Otherwise, the kids had to be in classes. But today, the kids, they get those whatever credits they need. They, if they're not doing, I don't know how much they do with the strip for education now, but they just don't go to school. They take those little two classes, and that's it. And they're out here doing nothing. And I think that is such a disservice when they could be getting some skills in the schools now. Now, you have some, and the other part we lost with the, because we have the dual enrollment classes at the college now, so a lot of seniors are taking, quite a few kids are taking
college courses
there. So we have lost that group of kids who could have been taking some of our classes that we have, just like with the advanced business classes, your computer applications, all these things, the skills that you're using today, or what have the accounting that people are into. We one time actually lost accounting. We had no students in accounting. Okay, you have accountants out here. Right. You all need somebody to take care of your money and do all that. But we lost them there. So quite a few kids we did lose to that part. The others are just, they might go in late to take those two classes, English and government, and that's it. I'm totally against that. I'm really against it, because I said, take something that's going to be, that you can actually use, where you're going to use the skills, whether it's business or whatever. Yeah. You need to be taking these courses, and parents need to be more in tune and not let those kids just, it's not like they got jobs.
Right.
They're just home. Yeah. Look at those TVs and whatever, with all the different things on there that they don't need to see. But they need to be more in tune in that. And I think they need to be, something needs to put in place. And I hate to say, increase the number of credits that they need to graduate. Because the fact, some kids, they could take quite a few electives and all, but they don't. But then you have some parents who, their kids, they're making sure those kids are taking these type things. But see, we don't have enough parents who are doing that. Yes, because some of you know. The parents are like, no, you're not getting out of school and come out here and do nothing. You take some of those classes, and they know what some of the classes that we actually have, just like with the typewriting that we have in the public schools now. It's called keyboard and applications at this point. Mm-hmm. So when I mentioned, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
When I came here, it was your choice to take it. But parents who were in the educational arena, period, they made sure those kids took that, because they knew if they were going to college, they're going to need to know how to type papers.
Yeah.
Okay, so those would, but those others, some did not. But then because the fact we got to the point so many kids were, say for instance, the teachers required these kids to key in papers, these young kids who didn't have typing, the key in papers, so how can they key in papers if they don't know how to key in?
Yeah.
And instead of saying typing, because on computers you key in, that's why I say keying in papers. But we got behind that, said, wait a minute, if you're going to require this, we need to do something so these kids, all these kids can learn how to key in. And with all the work that we did in the business department, we eventually got it so that it made it mandatory for all kids to take keyboard applications in high school. So everybody gets that. Now, from that point, they go on about their business. Yeah. But that is a lifetime skill. Absolutely. So they will not use that. And I get kids from time to time, I remember some of the first months when they went to college, they were telling me about the money they were making keying in papers for kids at college because they didn't know how, the kids didn't know how to type. I said, that is great. But that is great. But the key is that they were doing it because they wanted to do it, and they went out and pursued a career in that, or what have you. And I mentioned about the teachers that I worked with that taught me, and then I came back. Teachers never thought that would ever happen here. But it was great. It sure was.
Right. So when did you start teaching in Northampton?
I moved back here in 1978.
Okay.
1978.
And then you retired when?
I retired on June 30th, 2010 at 4 p.m. And at that point, the last 3 years, I was the career technical education coordinator, and that was over the whole career tech program. And it used to be called vocation education during your you're young, it's probably called career and tech ed during your time, but it used to call vocation education. And we changed the name, that's through the state, because the fact they had a stigma attached to vocational that only certain kids, that
class.
Top academic kids didn't take those type classes. So the change career and tech, it didn't make any difference. It's still, some people still use that. But people need to, and I know one of the governors, several governors, they talked a lot about kids getting skills in school in addition to the academics. And we need more to be concerned about getting that. So we are working on those things.
So initially you had came back to kind of give back to the community a little bit, and then you just kind of stayed? Is that kind of?
Yes, I stayed. My mother was here, which was great.
Oh, okay.
I'll have you, but yes, I ended up staying here. I enjoyed what I did. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed administration also. But I enjoyed teaching more because I had, even though I worked with students in administration, I had more of that direct contact with the kids and teaching them about life and not only the books, but, you know, we in the career and tech ed program, we not only taught those skills, but every teacher in career tech ed had to teach those workforce management skills, the resume, the interviews, all of that. Everybody who goes to those programs are supposed to be getting those type things or what have you. You know, I was in a meeting one time, I think last year before last, when they were doing the comprehensive plan for the county, and a young man at that time mentioned that he never learned how to operate a calculator until he got to college. I had gone. I had to leave early.
How did he not?
Calculators, when would be a time he would learn to use a calculator? Do you know the calculators that we use in business? But my thing is, sure, he probably did not learn how to operate that because he didn't take all classes, because all kids learn how to operate calculators because they had the accounting, and we had a class that was called general business during that time, and you learn banking, and they didn't know how to do checks and all that. We taught all that in business, but they didn't get, because they didn't take our courses. But I would love to have been there during that time when I said that. But yes, so some of the kids did lose out on some things because they didn't take some of the courses that we had. They didn't have time, or that stigma that was there. But we taught the check writing, and even for professionals today, some of them do not know how to properly write a check.
Wow.
They really don't.
Wow.
You try looking at a check some of these people write. They do not write a check correctly.
Yeah, I remember the first time I did not know what was going on.
But all those things, so these are the skills and all. So It's so much, and I just like to see people get all that they can from what we have to offer in the schools.
Right.
Or what have you.
So this is probably a crazy question, but as I'm doing these interviews with I'm at all of them.
Right.
So I'm, I'm hearing people's life stories and kind of the trajectory. How do you think that your experiences at Cape Charles Elementary affected the rest of your life? You know, where you went with your life and the way that you valued education and, just how you lived.
Well, basically, that is sort of difficult to say because the fact everybody did not do the route that I did. Some of us went on. Some people never left here. Or what have you. So I think it's a part of the parenting, my home environment and all, or what have you, the way we came up. Of course, you had the school part there, and we continued and all. But it's the combination of a lot of things that would cause me to go on and do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, we didn't have a lot of money, or what have you, but my mother was concerned about education. My sister went to school before I did. So all of us, we wanted to go to school, you could. And plus, there was financial assistance out there and all like that. But it depends on how you viewed education. And everybody, they don't have to all go to college or business school, because some have done well just working or what have you. And then, of course, they had kids of their own. And of course, they've made sure that their kids have gone on to pursue further education or what have you. But I think it's a combination with the home, because I said with my mother, concerned about education and all, and trying to get us the best, because she wanted us to do better. And we work towards that end. You want to add next something?
No, I was just creating a very open question that I wanted you to answer, kind of the first thing that came into your head. Because I'm not necessarily assuming that there's, a direct line, but I just think it would be interesting. Do you want me to get that?
Yes.
We can't stop that.
Okay,
but with. Yeah. Hello. Diane's here. We're just having a little. Dan,
what's your name?
Are you
done?
Yeah, we've got plenty.
Yep. 45.